Hey, God bless you guys, and happy Summit Life Camp weekend. That's why I'm wearing this great shirt. This is our, it's kind of our camp shirt. It's not, we made it, and we thought we would use it at camp, but we're all about the Summit Life 365 days a year. And so if you're here online, there's a pretty good chance you're not up with us at Church in the Hills, which is part of our Summit Life Camp this weekend. But that's okay. We're glad you're joining us. And guess what? We made extras. And if you want to grab one of these, you can do it. They're only $10 or I think $8 for a kid's shirt, something like that. And we want you to get in on this as well. So if you missed camp or you just happened to attend online, make sure to grab one of these to feel connected, because we want everyone to stay connected. And so those who are at camp are going to hear this in the context of being outside, under the stars, lots of animals around, lots of deer and stars and birds and insects, right? And so in all of that, they're going to have the context that maybe you won't. So if it's possible, grab your laptop or your iPad or your phone, whatever you're watching this on, and maybe go sit on the front porch or the back porch and put yourself in the context of nature so that maybe you can connect a little bit better with today's message. So when Lisa and I were young, in our early 20s, we were poor youth pastors. And when I say poor, I mean we barely made enough to pay our bills. Her and I would, for dinner, share a box of Rice-A-Roni Fettuccine Alfredo, split it. And I'm not talking a family-sized box. I'm talking the little single-serving portion. We had secondhand furniture, and we drove these really high-mileage cars that always seemed to need repairs. And honestly, we didn't have a savings account or a checking account with any money sitting in there waiting to pay for a repair like that. We didn't really have enough to do a Dave Ramsey envelope system. We just didn't have any money at all. And I wish we had, because when those repairs came, and they seemed to come often, what would we do when an unexpected expense came up? Well, we did what a lot of young, dumb people do, and that is that we would pull out this little high-interest credit card that we qualified for, and we would put the repair on there. And the really tragic part of that was we were paying for those car repairs long after those cars were broke down and no longer being driven on the road, right? And that's the way it works when we need something and we look to see that we can't meet our need in one way. And so we take it upon ourselves to figure out how to meet that need another way. And sometimes those, many times, those aren't the best ways to meet needs in our life. I'm guessing you've been there. Maybe you have recently been there, or maybe you were there a long time ago. And like us, you're probably doing better today than you were way back then. And I'm guessing you probably drive nicer cars. We try to find those cars that we can afford but still won't break down on us. And so we have nicer cars than we did back then. And maybe you've got some stashed away now, and you've got some money in retirement, and you've got some money in savings. Maybe you've got an emergency fund, and maybe you're doing good with your envelopes. But I have a question for you. With all the nicer cars and having more money today and having a bigger house than you did back then. I remember Lisa and I's first house was probably 1,000 square feet. The first house we ever bought cost us $38,000. Our house payment was $344 a month. But we've got a bigger house today, like probably you do, and we've got bank accounts that have more money in them today than we did back then. So here's the question I wanted to ask. With all of that, with more in your pocket and making more money and saving more money and having more things, have you stopped stressing and worrying about provision, your needs being met? I mean, have you stopped worrying about keeping your job or making enough at your job or making more at your job, have you worried recently or at all in the last year about being able to pay your bills, having enough? Like, do you have enough money to meet all of your needs? Do you worry about having enough money or your money running out when you retire? What about the unexpected expense because cars still need repairing and houses don't always do what they're supposed to do and there's fences that blow down and things that happen and kids that need braces and medical expenses that come up do just feels like there's bigger unexpected expenses than there were back then. So I'm guessing that you still worry about those things. Right? We haven't stopped worrying just because it feels like we have more for us to provide for ourselves. And here's why. It doesn't ever matter how much you make, how good your job is, how secure you feel in that job, how much credit you have on your credit card limit. You still feel insecure about being able to meet all your needs. And so do I. And here's the reason, because we continue to place our trust in ourselves, our job, our savings, our credit limits, our abilities and resources. We'll get it figured out. But the problem with that is deep down inside, we know that there are never-ending needs and unexpected expenses and problems that come up that will always exceed our limited resources and our limited abilities to meet those needs. So where is it that we're supposed to search for the source of unlimited provision in our lives when our needs feel like they're gonna go unmet? You're probably already getting there with me. It is all around us, and that's why I want you sitting outside so that you can see creation for a second. So that you can see what surrounds you, the infinite creation of God that surrounds you. And hopefully that will give you some context for what Jesus says here in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Here's the bottom line. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Don't worry about how you're going to clothe your body. Living is about more than merely eating, and the body is about more than dressing up. Look at the birds in the sky. They don't store food for the winter. They don't plant gardens. They don't sow or reap. Yet, they're always fed because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you're even more precious to Him than a beautiful bird. And if He looks after them, of course He's going to look after you. In other words, they're incapable of providing for themselves, and God cares enough about them to take care of them. So you, who actually has the ability to participate in God's provision, of course He's going to take care of you because He cares even more for you. And you're even more precious to Him than a beautiful bird. Worrying does not do any good. Who here can claim to add even 1 hour to his life by worrying? What are you worrying for? You're not producing anything by worrying. Nor should you care about your clothes. Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or weave or sew, and yet their garments are stunning. Their beauty, the provision of what clothes them, is not their responsibility. God has created them beautifully. He says, even King Solomon, dressed in his most regal garb, was not as lovely as these lilies. Think about the grassy fields. The grasses are here now, but they'll be dead by winter. In other words, they don't even stick around. And yet God adorns them so radiantly. How much more will He clothe you, you of little faith, you who have no trust? So don't consume yourselves with questions. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? How will we pay for this? Outsiders make themselves frantic over such questions. Unbelievers, those who don't have faith in God, they ask those kind of questions. They don't realize that your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. This verse is going to sound really familiar. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you. Seek God's eternal kingdom, and then temporary provision will be given to you. So don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Living faithfully is a large enough task for today. So I'm going to be honest with you, looking at the birds and looking around at creation and gazing up at the Tahoe Mountains and seeing the grand redwoods of California will inspire you for only so long. And you're going to need a little more convincing. Once you really get back into the real world and you walk back inside your house and reality starts setting in, you might need a little bit more. So I'm just going to share three quick things with you that I think are going to stick with you. Okay? So we don't have digital notes in the app. So this is a grab a piece of paper and write it down kind of thing. Okay? If I want to see all the ways that God provides for me, I need to, number one, welcome Him. Welcome Him. Not just invite, but welcome Him to be my provider. You ever invited somebody to a party that you were hoping they didn't show up, or invite them to a lunch, or invite them to a weekend getaway? Wasn't that really sincere? You weren't really wanting them to come. That's the difference between inviting someone and welcoming them. Welcoming is an intentional act of communicating the value that they have in your life. So you want to know what really matters to somebody? You want to know a thing that really matters to somebody? Just listen to them talk. They'll keep bringing it up. Maybe not all in the same conversation, but when you're with them, when they're passionate and they care, they'll talk about the things they care about. And you want to know who really matters to someone? Well, listen, because they're going to talk about them. And do you want to know how God concludes who we really trust for our provision? He does so based on what we pray about. So I don't mean the drop-off once or twice drive-by wish list we give God, where we make Him part of our list of how we provide for ourselves. And we go, well, I got to cover my base, make sure God knows what I need. I'm talking about welcoming God into the position of provider by letting Him know we value Him as the provider, not a provider. I mean, what we talk to Him about all the time. Those of you who have kids, especially little kids, you know what they want because they don't stop asking until you either just declare a firm no or you give in and give them what they want. Listen to Matthew 7:7 through 11. This is Jesus speaking. He says, continue to ask and God will give it to you. Continue to search and you'll find. Continue to knock and the door will open for you. Yes, whoever continues to ask will receive. Whoever continues to look will find. And whoever continues to knock will have the door open for them. Do any of you have a son? If he asked for bread, would you give him a rock? Or if he asked for a fish, would you give him a snake? Of course not. And you people are so bad. In other words, we're all sinful and corrupt. We're selfish. We're not even as sensitive to the needs of our own kids as we should be. And we still graciously, lovingly, and kindly meet the needs of our kids. But you still know how to give good gifts to your children. So surely your Heavenly Father, who's a perfect Father, will give good things to those who ask them. Now, here's one last question. Do you want to know how much someone really trusts in something? Then watch where they put their money. I mean, there's a trend right now to follow the Speaker of the House. Apparently, her and her husband make a lot of investments in the stock market, and people are literally using them as an indicator of where to put their money because they're assuming that Nancy Pelosi knows something that the rest of us don't. I don't know. That may be a great way to make money. But there are a lot of people putting their trust in her investments so that they can also make money on something they're assuming that she knows about, right? If you want to know who someone trusts, what they really trust, you just have to watch where they place their money. you put your money where you believe more money will be given back to you. It's brutal to try and find a bank account, a savings account that pays even 1%. I remember as a kid going and putting my money in savings and getting 6 and 7% when loan interest rates were up near 10 and 12%. But you can't find anyone to pay you hardly anything. And so we're out searching for where we can put our money that will get us the best return. Can I tell you what God's word says about where we place our trust? Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says this: honor the Lord, put God in the position of trust and provider in your life by giving him the first part of all your income. That literally means the tithe, the tenth. Tithe is literally means tenth. Giving God that tenth, the first fruits, you'll hear it referred to in scripture, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley. And you go, don't need wheat and barley. And he'll overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. Remember, God was speaking to them in terms of their economy and their wealth and their provision and what met their needs. And I want you to hear this. When you honor God and welcome him into the position of provider for your life, and you trust him, you tell him what you need, and you give your tenth to show God that you trust him. The psalmist says this in Psalm 116, 12, and then verses 17 and 18. What can I give the Lord for all the good things? You probably won't pop up on your screen. What can I give the Lord for all the good things he's given to me? I will give you an offering to show thanks to you, and I will pray to the Lord, and I will give the Lord what I promised in front of all his people. You know how you tell God you trust him? Then share with him everything you need as if he is your only provision. Welcome him into that position and then show him you trust him with your tithe. Number two is this. I want to see all the ways that God provides for me. I need to, number two, believe that he understands my needs better than I do. This point's going to be a lot quicker than number one. So Jesus gives this long, really inspiring speech and message and inspirational moment about God's provision. And then he ends by saying, so don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. So why does Jesus need to say that at all? Well, because the fact is we don't really worry about the past because there's nothing we can do about the past. And we don't really worry about today because we're already sitting in the middle of God's provision for today. What we have, we will have already today. And so this is it. Today we're experiencing God's provision. It's tomorrow and the tomorrow after that and the tomorrow after that and 1,000 tomorrows after that that we actually worry about. It's the unknown, whether the provision continues, whether God understands that I'm going to need to be fed again and there's more bills coming and there's unexpected things and there's always something that's going to take more money. It's almost as if we don't think that God realizes there is a tomorrow. But when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said this in Luke 11, 2 through 3. When you pray, say, Father, may your name always be kept holy. This is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. Just like it is there, we want it here. And then he says this, give us the food we need for each day. When they would refer to bread, give us our day, our daily bread, give us our today, our daily bread. Bread was a one word synopsis of all that they needed to sustain life, the bread of life, right? Jesus understood that when we prayed, we need to realize, listen, does God need to be reassured that he is God? Does God need to be reassured that his name is above all names? Well, no. Does God need the go-ahead, our permission to establish his kingdom anywhere he wants, however he wants? Well, no. Does God actually need to be reminded that his children need to eat every single day, that we have new needs every single day? Obviously, he knows all of that. It's us that needs to be reminded that God has our needs in pocket better than we do. He knows our needs before we do. And he knows that we don't need to worry about any of those needs, not tomorrow or 1,000 tomorrows after that. It's us that needs to be reminded that God is above all gods. His name is above all names. His kingdom is in the life of his children. And God knows our needs better than we do, even the ones we don't even know that we have yet. Third, finally, is this. If I want to see all the ways that God provides for me, I need to trust that his generosity is going to exceed my expectations. So listen to some interesting statistics. Though the size of the American family is actually getting slightly smaller than it was 50 years ago, the average American home size has grown from 1,000 square feet to 2,500 square feet over the last several decades. Don't need bigger houses because we don't have bigger families, but we keep buying bigger and bigger houses. Personal storage, you know, these you store it places, they generate more than $24 billion in revenue. That means although we have more space in our homes than we've ever had before, we still accumulate so much stuff, more stuff than we can even keep in our own home. So we pay rent somewhere else to keep all of the stuff that we can't keep in our big homes. And reports indicate that we consume twice as much material goods today than we did 50 years ago. So here's the point. We keep taking it upon ourselves to work more so that we can make more, and we make more so that we can spend more, and we spend more so that we can buy more, and we buy more so that we can own more, have more, and we have more so that we can assure ourselves we have been provided for. Did you get all that? We are working feverishly to have better jobs, to earn more money. When we hear the term livable wage, I would love to take what we consider our livable wage, even our minimum wage here, and go to places that I've been, in Africa, in Central and South America, in India, all over the planet, when they make $30 a month, and to hear about $15 an hour. Why do we have to make as much as we make? Because we have to buy more and accumulate more and have bigger houses so that we feel more provided for. And as Christians, we're no less guilty of this. As a matter of fact, as Christians, I think sometimes we're more guilty of this. And listen, here's why. Because we think if we put God in the seat of provision for us instead of us being in the seat of provision for us, that God's going to put us on the crumbs and water diet. That God wants us to get rid of all of our materials and all of our possessions and all of our homes, and he wants us to live in a mud hut in the bush of Africa. That somehow God wants to deplete from us, and that's going to make us holier. And that's just not the character or the reputation of God. He certainly hasn't earned that reputation. Don't forget that when Jesus fed over 10,000 people, it says there were 5,000 men counted, right? This was a culture that men were mentioned more. There were likely women and children there to the degree that the crowd was double the size of what's recorded. So let's say there was a crowd of 10,000 people. Not only did Jesus feed them, he fed them till they were full. And then the Bible says that there were bushelfuls, baskets, and baskets left over that hadn't even been touched. Now, that is a perfect example of how God not only wants to meet our need, but meet it in abundance to demonstrate that he is not a stingy, penny-pinching, withholding God. Let me end with this passage. Philippians 4:19, and my God will liberally, which means fill until full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you what that means? Because we belong to Christ Jesus, God is going to make available to us his wealth, his resources, his provision. This was Paul addressing a church who had gathered gifts together to meet his needs. And Paul was saying to them, just as God has generously used you as a resource to meet my needs, God will meet your needs in abundance as well, because God loves his kids, and he will use jobs, and he will use people, and he will use all kinds of unexpected things to not only meet your needs, but meet them generously and with favor and abundance. And so when you go outside today, tomorrow, and the days to come, pause long enough to look around and hear God's creation and see God's creation. It was kind of funny, as I was writing this message, I was sitting on the back patio, and it was a beautiful day, and the birds were just, there's a big tree right next to where I was working, and the birds, there was just dozens of birds in there, and they were so loud, and they were distracting me. And Lisa comes out, and she goes, were you talking to me? And I said, what? No. And she goes, well, I heard, who are you talking to? And I said, oh, I was telling the birds to shut up, they're too loud. And here I was telling creation to be quiet as I'm writing a message about God's provision as demonstrated through his creation. And I just think it's funny that sometimes the very things that God puts into our life to remind us of his provision go completely unnoticed by us. All those birds were happy. They were singing. Their needs had been met, and they had no idea how they were met because they're birds. They didn't get up and worry that day. They just got up and lived like a happy bird who flew from branch to branch, and they ate what they wanted to eat, and they drank what they wanted to drink, and they did whatever they wanted to do. And if God cares about them that way, how much more does he care about you and I? Let's pray. Father, for those that are struggling with their insecurities and their fears and their worries about provision, let them know that we have all been there and we all struggle in those moments. And there might even be more moments to come, but bring to our minds these passages, the life of your word that inspires us and challenges us and pushes back on those worries and those stresses, reminds us that if we really want you to be in the position of provider, then we have to tell you what our needs are and come to you as if we really care about those things. Talk to you as if we really believe you're the one who can do it and honor you as provider. Because the word says if we give generously, it'll be given to us even more generously in return. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. You're a God who loves to bless your children. Now let us be a children who loves to trust, believe, and give to their God in a way that demonstrates that you are our provider, not a provider. You are the provider. And we declare it, we receive it, we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you guys.